at each other's backs.
In America, we have the privilege of being a diverse society made up of people from all kinds of backgrounds, and that's a big part of what makes this country such a great place to live.
When we put aside our differences and work together, there is no challenge too great to overcome. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
You are listening to 1360 AM.
KHNC.
Johnstown, Denver.
Rocky Mountain News Network, I'm Kristen Thoburn. Colorado Governor Jared Polis has declared a state of emergency. Now, usually that's a step that officials will take not to make people panic, but rather because it triggers access to emergency funding. Governor Polis says testing does need to be rapidly expanded for anyone who has flu-like symptoms. Beginning today, there will be free drive-up COVID-19 testing in Denver on East Lowry Boulevard. That will be available to anyone with a note from their doctor. Colorado's new total of coronavirus cases rose to 17 late last night.
The latest to catch it have been a man in Arapahoe County and one in Jefferson County, both in their 50s, and a teen girl in Denver. The new cases were expected as testing for COVID-19 expands and improves. Colleges and universities statewide are responding to the health problem. Colorado College in the Springs is urging students to leave campus for at least a month. The school's about to go on spring break, and that's being extended an extra week to the end of this month. School will start up again on the 30th, but online only. Those changes will stay in place till at least mid-April, and some classes may be canceled if online isn't an option. Graduation's still scheduled for May 17th at CC, but officials are still talking about what may happen with it. I'm Jim Williams.
A bill to repeal and replace Columbus Day in Colorado is headed to the governor's desk. If signed into law, that holiday would instead become Mother Cabrini Day, which would be celebrated on the first Monday in October. A trash bag with human remains inside was found near the Arkansas River near Pueblo yesterday morning. It was found by a group of volunteers cleaning up that riverbank. The remains are believed to be that of an adult and were almost completely decomposed. The Pueblo coroner will begin that investigation. The city of Palisade has been awarded a $1 million grant to build sidewalks and bike lanes in their downtown area. The grant is a collaboration with the Colorado Department of Transportation. They're hoping it will make streets safer and more bike and pedestrian friendly. I'm Kristen Thoburn.
Every day we have the opportunity to lead by example in delivering reliable, affordable, and responsible electricity to power what matters to you. We are taking bold steps to change how your energy is produced, with 50% of your electricity coming from renewable sources by 2024. Because as a cooperative, we are changing together. Whatever the future holds, we'll power it. Tri-State. Cooperative power. Transformed.
You've worked hard to make your business successful and minimize your impact on the environment, and we want to recognize you for your efforts. Apply for free membership in Colorado's Environmental Leadership Program. We offer benefits and incentives to businesses who go above and beyond to help the planet. Apply today so we can let Colorado know that your business is working to protect our most precious resource, the environment. Search Colorado Environmental Leadership Program on the internet. Brought to you by the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment.
Make an investment in your business. KHNC is offering an incredible opportunity to get noticed. 300 radio ads for 3 months for just $300. Yes, 100 ads per month for just $1 per ad. You can make a 30-second commercial or we'll do it for you. No production or setup fees or any hidden costs. For just $1 per ad, you can cover the Front Range. Call 970-587-5003 and get started today. Come join the roar of the Rockies.
If you lived around here 70 years ago, you were probably listening to my grandpa Paul Weingart's music. A big change since then? Utility prices. The average cost a month in 1950 was around $9. They will never be that low again. But there are ways you can lower them, like insulating and air sealing your attics, walls, and crawl spaces. Call Bestway Insulation at 303-469-0808. And we'll help you through the process, set you up with one of our energy assessors, and make sure every dime spent will give you a return on your investment. Bestway Insulation, serving Colorado since 1976. 303 0808 or online at bestwayinsulation.com.
Bob Leno has developed Vincent Village, a pad-ready commercial center located in the heart of lovely Fort Lupton, Colorado. It's right on Highway 52 next to the Coyote Creek Golf Course. There are four pad-ready sites from 1/2 to 2 acres. The town is hoping for new restaurants, especially chicken. It's Realtor Co-op Welcome. Call Bob Leno, 720-339-8841. That's 720-339-8841.
Open Forum.
Steve Starrs.
Etheric Dave.
Mondays.
11 a.m.
Right here on KHNC.
1360 a.m.
The Roar of the Rockies.
Oh, by the way, I've cracked the code. I figured out the shadow organizations and the Illuminati. That they're finally primed for world domination. And soon you've got black helicopters coming across the border. Puppet masters for the new world order. Be aware, there's always someone that's watching you. And still the government won't admit they fake a whole moon landing. Thought control race, psychotronic scanning. Don't mind that, I'm protected cause I made this hat from aluminum foil.
Foil.
Where I had this foil lined, in case an alien's inclined to probe your butt or read your mind. Looks a bit peculiar. Seems a little crazy, but someday I'll prove. There's a big conspiracy.
Well, I don't know if we're going to prove that today or not. In fact, that's not really our point, but you never know. We'll see what happens. This is Brain Cleavage, and I'm Kara. This is where we think in a robust fashion and where AI... Excuse me, I'm going to get rid of that echo. And where AI means authentic intelligence. Well, good morning, everybody. We're here today to talk once more about book burning. And that is something, you were just hearing some book burning noises there. Did you catch that? Yeah, that was book burning. Well, it was a fire anyway. And I need some help to get the studio free of the feedback that we have. So if somebody could help us out with that, I would appreciate it. Today, I am sitting here with my friend from the Bazaar Bazaar Book and Music Store in Fort Collins. His name is Scott McCarchuk. We started last week speaking about book burning, both literal and figurative, and we're going to continue that discussion today. Welcome, Scott. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting me back, Kara. It was fun last time.
Yes, it was. Well, it was fun in kind of a twisted way, I guess. You know, if you can derive fun from talking about something as horrible as book burning.
Stimulating conversation, at least.
Right. Exactly. So we breached a whole bunch of different topics related to the concept of book burning last week. And some of them we just didn't have a lot of time to get into in any kind of depth. It's a big topic because book burning is not just throwing books on a heap like what they did in the Middle Ages, but it now today can encompass many other things because book burning is basically just getting rid of information that is threatening to someone.
It might also be a little bit of hoarding as well, where those that are in power want to hoard the wisdom and deny access to everybody else. So there's a burning side of that, but there also might be a hoarding side that goes hand in hand with book burning. So.
Hoarding the knowledge. So, okay,
sure.
So
knowledge is power, right? So if you hoard it.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is, in your opinion, the fact that Google is scanning supposedly every book on Earth to make sure, I mean, the good part in their mind and what they would tell us is, well, that is preserving all these books if we can trust them to make them available to everyone. But is the bad part, what you're saying, is that a form of hoarding the information and having control over it?
Well, it could be a form of hoarding and book burning simultaneously in a digital sense. in that I know they are trying to scan 130 million books in existence. Apparently, as of, I think, 2018, they're at the 40 million mark. And this, you know, continues in spite of the fact that authors of many of those books did not want Google to scan their books. They felt like their rights were infringed. But they all went to court. They sued. Of course, Google won in the end. They scanned all their books, and they make them, you know, every so many pages available in their search engine or Google Books and things like that. And then they try to sell it to you through their system or network or, you know, I don't know how all the details work out for them. But,
right.
But, yeah.
But that's definitely the answer. Yeah. To the question I just asked. They're basically the holders of that repository of information.
That's
they
right.
can do what
just
they want.
Just trust them in the cloud.
Oh, yeah. Nothing to worry about, folks.
Don't back anything up. You don't need extra hard drives. They
yeah.
got it.
Let's just protect the planet. Let's get rid of all of this this stuff that, you know, we killed trees to make. And trust us. We'll mm-hmm. put it all digital. Yeah, I don't really like that. I looked up what the most famous instances of actual physical book burning were in history. Mm-hmm. And guess what? It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different popes. Had the Ooh. Biggest instances
and
or incidences.
You hear these stories about the Vatican Library, right?
Right.
The vaults in the basement, the deep down underground where they have all the historical whatnot that were hoarded over centuries.
Oh, yeah.
So
their library is one of the – it is probably the best in the world.
Yeah.
And I've read books written by scholars who went there just because they wanted to hold the actual original first – you know, first edition or only copy of a certain book and do their research. And
right.
it's amazing.
I think that to some degree you hear stories and you never know what's true because you don't have ways to verify sometimes. But Smithsonian does a lot of that as well. I think they tend to hoard a lot of artifacts, not just books, but artifacts that prove maybe alternative histories that they don't want people to have access to. And they have multiple floors underneath their building as well. I'm just passing on information I've read. So who knows what's in these vaults in their basements?
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? There might be a bunch of rich private individuals out there that do the same thing.
Speaking of which, that reminds me of a story you were telling me off air about something that was buried deep underground and
yeah.
that might have been associated with the destruction of a lot of or a big, huge library. Would you like to talk about that?
We talked about the Antikythera device or the Antikythera mechanism that was found at the bottom of the Mediterranean in the 1890s by the old scuba divers with those big brass helmets
uh-huh.
with a hose
uh-huh.
that went up to the surface. The guys that got the bends, they died when they came to the surface, a lot of them, from the pressure.
Sure.
But they discovered something down deep that was a sort of a clump of metal that was all corroded, and they just threw it in a box, and I think they put it on the shelf in Athens, Greece.
Wow.
But
we'll
finish.
Yes, we'll talk some more about that when we come back. This is Brain Cleavage, and I'm Kara. Thank you for joining us. We'll be right back.
Please work with Colorado Right to Life to abolish abortion and not with those who regulate it. For the so-called pro-life regulations convince even our own judges that the unborn child has no true right to life. So we've offered $10,000 to National Right to Life to name a single justice who has ever acknowledged the unborn child's right to life. Tragically, there are none. See that at AmericanRTL.org/regulations.
Chemtrails, also known as stratospheric aerosol injection when being sprayed by our own military or the United Nations, is literally killing the Earth. Chemtrails, laden with aluminum, barium, cadmium, amongst other ingredients, are being dumped right over our heads almost daily. The residue slowly contaminates the soil, destroying the microbacteria essential for plant life. Discover more facts, photos, and scientific studies by Googling toxic skies. What are they spraying?
Spring is coming. Are you ready to grow? Bill Meyer is offering his farm for sale located near Holyoke in Phillips County, Colorado. Grow corn, wheat, beans, barley, or hemp, all on this productive irrigated farm. It's 320 acres in one parcel with two irrigation wells and two center pivots. Asking price, just $840,000. Be ready to grow. Call Bill at 303-618-9073. 303-618-9073. Let's get growing.
cleaning out your garage or basement and not sure what to do with those old books, records, or cassette tapes? Then call the Bazaar Bazaar in Fort Collins at 970-484-1699. They buy, sell, trade record players, turntables, amplifiers, receivers, and vintage radios, working or not. They're your one-stop shop for books, music, stereos, you name it, they got it. Check out FortCollinsBazaar.com or call 970-484-1699. Located at 1014 South College in Fort Collins, 970-484-1699.
This is Brian Kilmeade, and you're listening to 1360 KHNC, the Roar of Colorado.
All the world over sun, is it asleep? People everywhere just want to be free. Listen, please, listen, that's the way it should be. Peace in the valley, people got to be free.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Brain Cleavage, and I'm Kara. You're listening to KHNC 1360 AM on your dial, or you might be streaming our signal over the internet at 1360khnc.com. In either case, welcome back to the program. My name is Kara, and I am visiting today with Scott Makarchuk. He is an owner of a book and music store, and we're talking about the concept of book burning, which is very relevant in any age, and especially in this age. And we just got into a little bit of a discussion about the Antikythera. And so, Scott, continue to tell us that story.
Yeah, we'll pick up where we left off. Antikythera mechanism, it's called. So it was found in the Mediterranean in the 1890s. The brass helmet scuba diver type guys hauled it up to their ship. And they threw it on a shelf. They didn't know what it was. I think actually during the war, the Nazis tried to grab this item. But I believe the Athens Museum buried it somewhere underneath the museum. They had a vault or something like that to hide it from the Nazis. In any case, what makes this mechanism special is that as time went on, they were able to clean it up and see what it actually was. And so this clump of corroded metal turned into, you know, once the chemistry, you know, skills came along, they cleaned it up and they were able to see, like, this ancient Greek writing on it. And they, you know, then so many years go by and X-ray technology comes out and they start scanning this thing and looking at what it is and what's inside of there. And they realize it's this very elaborate box of gears. And these are gears that are so complicated that in recent history, we've invented these in the last couple hundred years. But this device dates back to around 100 BC, and they think that it was on a Roman ship that sank at some point and whatever. But the item itself dates to around 100 BC, and here you have a device that's 2,000 years old, made with extremely advanced mathematics, extremely advanced science, knowledge of the stars, the planets, the sun, and the moon, and it actually tracked the motions of the planets, even the side of the moon, and it calculates for the wobble of the moon. So the ancients had very advanced science, and it all disappeared for 2,000 years. How did that happen?
Yeah. What
books did they read to build this device? And it wasn't just the knowledge of the movement of the planets and the relationships of the planets. The mathematics to calculate. Imagine we can make this with a computer today, a simulation, but to make it out of gears. Mm-hmm. And not only that, the manufacturing skills of making tiny gears to do all this in a box. Mm-hmm. In a very tiny, something about the size of a shoebox, by the way. This is extremely advanced science, math, and manufacturing. So the wisdom was there 2,000 years ago. Imagine if we never dropped the ball at that point in history and we kept rolling from there and we advanced and we didn't lose 2,000 years of progress, because that's what happened. Because that technology didn't get rediscovered until almost 2,000 years later.
And what year did you say it was discovered?
It was discovered in the 1890s, mm-hmm. and it was one of those things that you couldn't really make go away. It was in the museum in Athens, and it's still on display. You can Google it or go to YouTube and look at a whole video of how the thing's put together. It's absolutely mind-blowing how advanced this thing is.
And so the way that that relates to what we're talking about and why that's so relevant is that there's a theory about how it got buried or what it was a part of before it went missing, right?
Well, apparently, and again, that gets into stuff that I'm not too familiar with, but that box that calculates the movements of the planets at any point in time and space, it goes forwards or backwards in history with a crank. So if you're into astrology and the influence of the planets and this sort of thing, this thing could tell you exactly at any point in history which planet is in which position to calculate astrological impact. If that's, you know, something you're into, or you can do a little bit more research about that. I can't say I'm that familiar with astrology. But this thing, I'm looking at it more from the technological standpoint and the math science and the manufacturing that went, the technology that went into that to make that was lost.
I'm because, looking at it from that point too.
Yeah. So there were obviously some humans made that,
lost,
or at least I think humans made that.
Lost or hidden.
Yeah, lost or hidden. That's the interesting thing, what you just said right there, is that, so did that technology information get lost 2,000 years ago, or was it hoarded? Like, are there people in the world today that still walk around and they have this information in their library? It's just that the rest of us don't get it. So we're, you know, we're the Thomas Edisons with, you know, 2,000 tries and I finally figure something out, where he could have just looked at that book and went right to the you know, tungsten, you know, the light bulb or whatever, or the phonograph, or, you know, jump right into all this sort of technology. But unfortunately, we were set back 2,000 years because clearly we had advanced technology that was lost.
Right.
And only recently have we started to rediscover that. And if we had had the books or the humans or their opinions or their information passed along for 2,000 years, we wouldn't be where we are today. We would be 2,000 years ahead of ourselves, which, can you imagine, 2,000 years from now?
That points to one of the extreme dangers of people censoring information, whether it's by physically burning a book on a pile, or whether it's censoring somebody's ideas on the internet, or whether it's maybe taking some academics out of the loop, firing them because they're wanting to research things that are not necessarily approved by
right.
the current regime of academia. You know,
right.
they don't fall into line with certain theories that mm-hmm. most scientists are accepting.
And we keep going back to the whole knowledge is power thing, don't we?
Right.
Power is something that, you know, if you want more, you burn your neighbor's power. You know, and if knowledge and power is in books, you start burning your neighbor's books. That way you have power and wisdom over your neighbor. It just gives you the upper hand. And, you know, if you just go back in history, if I were this great, powerful lord and I had this library and I had all this information and the ignorant masses walked around me, I'm in the clouds.
Sure.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, it's a thing a lot of people.
If you're that small-minded and
right.
egotistical,
that's right.
Yes.
People want to hoard it. They want to be on the top of the pyramid and you've got the information to be there. Are you really going to go share it with everybody?
Well, because you're talking about the difference between pure knowledge and human corruption, and there are all kinds of elements that factor into that. So knowledge is power. If mm-hmm. you control the power, so for example, we have 6 corporations in the United States
Focused.
Or that are U.S. corporations that own over 90% of all media outlets. That's mm-hmm. huge power. Do they use it for good? No. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they don't. They use it to sway elections and then mm-hmm. blame the Russians. Or
mm-hmm.
give more
oh, yeah.
press to those who are saying the
Russians
did it. Verifiability
is where it all sort of comes down to it. And we just don't have the average consumer of information, which is all of us pretty much, 99.99% of us, we have no way to verify.
Well, look
we really
at
don't.
Look at let's use another example on this discussion. Look at the big rivalry that existed between Westinghouse and Edison and Tesla. So you would think. You might think, if you were naive, that these men were all intelligent, scientific-minded people. Mm-hmm. They were all trying to discover things for the betterment of mankind and that mm-hmm. sort of thing. But no, there were other things in the way, like who can benefit from it the most financially, who can control the market. And so we didn't get the best results because they were always fighting with each other.
They were always fighting with each other. And I'm a big fan of Tesla, by the way.
Me too.
Yeah. But, you know, and apparently Tesla came up with free energy. I know that I've read stories he created something like a Volkswagen that went 90 miles an hour pulling energy through an antenna.
He was the only one who wasn't corrupted by money. The other
You know, there's another guy out there called Wilhelm Reich. Not a lot of people have heard his name. He's sort of like the Tesla of biology.
Mm-hmm.
He's apparently the only person that created life in a test tube, which makes him quite fascinating. Among many other things, very strange individual. Very similar to Tesla. A lot of his information that he had come up with and his inventions and ideas got buried along the way, just like the whole free energy idea that Tesla came up with. But when you think about it, you know, free energy is also in some ways a threat. If everybody suddenly has free energy, you don't need the oil companies, you don't need the infrastructure, you don't need the government.
Threat to someone.
And then what happens, society collapses. And I mean, not to play devil's advocate, but there's also an argument to be made
well,
for that,
Well, but
too.
if you rewind back to Tesla's time, we didn't have this.
We weren't so dependent on the
No,
on the
it was a completely That's different. Right. We maybe wouldn't be in this position that we are now had we been more, what would you call it, more caring about humanity back then.
Well, I know that Tesla, you know, when he put forth his ideas to, I think it was Westinghouse. I can't remember. You know, one of them, was it Westinghouse?
I think Westinghouse was the one who really double-crossed him the most because they had agreements
together.
They were
also close friends, and he had actually torn up a paper note that Westinghouse had owed him, like I think it was like over $1 million, which was big money back in the day,
really big.
He didn't want to see Westinghouse go down because he was a competitor.
And then
of
did
Edison.
Westinghouse repay the favor later? No, he didn't.
Well, that's the thing, you know, when Tesla apparently came up with the idea or the technology for free energy that could be distributed through the air, and they couldn't find a way to make any money on that, they shut that down and buried it and burned it.
Mm-hmm. And then when Tesla died in his obscure life that he led in his final years at the New Yorker Hotel in New York, and he had
There's
no
friends. There's
a great
YouTube video clip of that, by the way. You got to dig that up. It's a great little – it's a mini movie, like 20 minutes.
And he was feeding pigeons because he had no companionship. Nobody stuck with him even as a friend. Mm-hmm. And he was continuing to be voracious in the amount of study that he did and all the calculations and theorizing that he was still working on.
The point is that
when he died, the men in black suits all showed up and took all of
his library.
They took all of the trunks of his research, and that's another example of controlling the information that went straight. And that I believe that many people have exploited his work that was stolen after he died.
Right. Yeah, he's a mysterious guy, and you know what he actually came up with, we'll probably never know. Like you said, the men in black showed up and confiscated his library. First thing, that was, I think the first act that had happened, just so that, again, there we go, back to hoarding and burning the powers that be. And again, you know, and again, I'm not blaming anybody out there. I'm just saying that I get it. You know, you want to be in charge, you want to be in control, and you have control over people through power. And knowledge is power. It's just a logical sort of step.
Well, that's why we should heed the wise words of people who came before us, like Lord Axton, who said, "Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely." That's why we need to be a vigilant society. That's why we need to be the ones protecting things like this. You know, knowledge and freedom and all that you know is sacred. Really.
Well, it's funny. You know, you talk about absolute power corrupts absolutely. And stuff like
it
that.
It tends to.
I'm a political science major. That was my passion once upon a time when I was in my 20s. I found all that stuff fascinating. And, you know, looking back, and I always thought, oh, the UN and a one world government would be so wonderful and peaceful and all this kind of stuff. But at the same time, if you really do believe power corrupts, which is a tale as old as time, you might want to think about that.
That's right. That's a really dangerous assumption to make. And you can see it all over the place. I'm glad you finally came to your senses. But look at all these young people who want to follow, for example, Bernie Sanders. They think, oh, he's got all the answers. Going to be free education, free healthcare, free this, free that. And they believe what his message is in consolidating power. And then, really, you can trust that? How can you trust that? It's dangerous. There are inefficiencies built into decentralization of power, but it's worth it because you're having protections for the people in that. And when people are more engaged, then they're more likely to be protecting their own interests rather than if they're just kind of falling asleep or blindly trusting other people. So how did this relate, you know, to information? Well, look at what we do as a society. We kind of have like just let the classic literature go by the wayside without even thinking about what we might be missing. And we're seeing those books disappear from the library shelves because instead, you know, we're more a society that is interested in gratification of our current, you know, senses and what we want. We'd rather watch a video than read a book.
We're more interested in entertainment than information.
Yes, or sports or, you know, and if not to beat a dead horse to death, but with the coronavirus, as Joe was saying earlier, if they start to come down on us and say that that they're banning certain live performances of various things, and you can't go to a rock concert, or you can't go to a pro basketball game anymore. You're going to be finding that you have a lot more time on your hands. Are you going to spend that time by just live streaming the game that you're missing? Or, I mean, when people get a hint of the richness of a passage of good literature, they love it.
Sure.
But nobody, so few people actually are even sharing it. I'm going to start sharing quotes from some good literature, just short ones.
Quotes are great. I love quotes.
You know what you're missing?
When I was in college, I used to read quotation books. I didn't always understand what the message was, but I figured it out maybe 10 years later.
Well, we're talking with Scott Makarchuk. This is Kara on Brain Cleavage, and we'll be back in just a few moments on KHNC, The Lion.
Tired of working for someone else? Here's a rare opportunity to buy into a 33-year-old established locksmithing and safe business with the best phone number and reputation in the business on the Front Range. All inventory and safe tools include the owner will stay on for training until you get started. Call 970-587-5003. That's 970-587-5003. Work for yourself. Own your own business today.
You can buy gold just about anywhere in the world from all kinds of different dealers. So why do you use the Patriot Trading Group?
20 years of service, just like that. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, just like that. Lowest prices, just like that. No solicitation, just like that. Buying or selling, just like that.
For all your gold and silver needs, call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. Just like that.
Grandpa's Pawn and Gun. We are a family-owned and operated business. We run a gun store, pawn shop in Longmont, Colorado, and have served the Front Range for nearly 25 years. Currently, we have over 400 guns for sale in our 4,200-square-foot showroom. Grandpa's Pawn and Gun, according to Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, is one of the state's highest volume gun dealers. We are also the busiest pawn shop in Longmont, and we offer the lowest interest rates on your loans in northern Colorado. Seriously, why would you pawn your valuables anywhere else? We've sold over 45,000 guns since 1999, so if you are into those old Colts and Winchesters or new Glocks and H&Ks, we'll take good care of you. People you can trust and a pawn shop you can trust. That's Grandpa's Pawn and Gun, 303-772-7952. That's 303-772-7952.
Hi, folks. I'm James Morgan, a realtor with Grisham & Associates, LLC. I know it must seem like there's a million realtors out there making all kinds of promises. Want to hear my big marketing promise? I promise honest and fair dealings with all those I do business with. That may sound old-fashioned, and it is not very catchy, but it is true. I am your Colorado real estate specialist. Farmland, mountain cabins, or urban dwellings. When you work with my team, we'll get the right property for you and be upfront and honest with you every step of the way. Over the years, my clients have told me just that fact alone separates us from others in the industry. If you are considering buying or selling real estate, call me, James Morgan, at 720-203-0731 or visit my website at coloradoproperties.online. No catchy slogan, just a client-first, honest real estate experience. Hit it, girls.
Keep listening to the American Freedom Network.
This is Kara, and we're on Brain Cleavage every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near, between the woods and frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there is some mistake. The only other sounds the sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep, and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep. That is a quote. That is an actual full poem written by Robert Browning, or Robert Frost, rather. Stopping by the woods on a snowy evening, we talked about it before the break, how we're missing the richness, the amazing depth of our language, the thoughts, the philosophy, the wisdom that comes from excellent writing in literature. And I wanted to share an example of such with you. And during the break also, Scott and I were talking about the dumbing down and the lower levels of information, even that it's even getting more and more degraded as we see time marching on. And one example is with the internet. I mean, I see the information becoming more poorly written, terrible vocabulary, no punctuation, spelling is terrible. And I'm like, where are the standards for language? If you don't use your language as the tool that it is, then actually it's a reflection of the quality of your thinking.
Just look at images and memes from now on.
Yeah.
Make it all easier for you.
Oh, that's what I need to do. Yeah, I don't need any literature. Give me some memes.
Just little 30-second video clips are all you need.
Right. No, tell us a little bit, Scott, about what you think about just even more recently with the internet.
Well, even, you know, because I'm new here, so it's fun being a guest and everything. But, you know, I'd like to do a little homework before I come on the show. And I had some topics that I thought would be really interesting, and I tried to do a little research. And I was extremely disappointed with what I found with Google results. Mm-hmm. I remember back in the day of the search engines, there were tens of them that were fantastic search engines. I was a real .com nerd, programmer, loved all that stuff. It was a very romantic part of my career history. I loved being a techie guy in the early days of the .com era and the computers, and I just loved all that stuff. It's kind of fizzled out now, but I remember search engines that had far superior search results 15 years ago than Google has today. I was researching some, I think it was the question along the lines of, you know, let's say, you know, we're talking about information in books and learning and wisdom and knowledge. And what does a person looking to make a career in the future need to know? Or, you know, what are the job skills, the job hunt, things you need to look for? Or what are companies looking for in the year 2020 and beyond? I couldn't believe the way I was redirected around to websites of these human resource companies. And honestly, there would be a link that says, oh, here's some information about that, just what I'm looking for. And you click on it, and it leads you to this page that has nothing to do with it. And it was just page after page. And I wasted an hour. Yeah. I'm like, this is just... I just had to throw that whole idea in the toilet.
And so if you had time to go to the library instead, at least you would go and you would look up what the sources are for various topics, and you would pull specific articles in specific publications or go to certain books. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have this being pulled around right. by AI or
right.
whatever.
Marketing and mm-hmm. AI and all that
but,
sort of thing.
But as you were just talking about that, it just kind of hit me that the reason, it's obvious, but I didn't think about it. It's
one
just like
engine.
What you see on Facebook, it has changed since between now and 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So at first, 10 or 15 years ago, it was just information more. Mm-hmm. They hadn't monetized Facebook nearly as mm-hmm. much. They didn't have a lot of the advertisements and things like that. They just didn't have it in place yet. So mm-hmm. it was mostly information. You could just talk right. with your friends and share things
right.
with them.
But it was very democratic. And,
but now, you know, Facebook is trying to push you toward, you know, the people that they mm-hmm. are working with on the financial side. And the internet is the same way. There's a lot more information from advertising on the internet, and
right.
the search engine results and all of that are pushing what you get when you do a search.
Well, historically, I mean, it was called spamming, and they were punished. People that created search results that were spam were punished.
Mm-hmm.
But now you have one search engine, Google.
Mm-hmm.
Google owns YouTube, which is another sort of search engine, video search engine. I remember the days of InfoSeek and Hotbot and Lycos. There were all these great search engines, and they were so rich, and they were all different.
Netscape.
You'd get all these different results from all these different search engines because they had to compete with each other to build a better mousetrap.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have one search engine. Mm-hmm. And in the early days of Google, I felt their search results were a lot better. As time goes on, though, to me personally, when I look at my results, I'm extremely disappointed. Sometimes I'll find two pages. Mm-hmm. Two pages. Mm-hmm. Two pages that aren't even related to what I'm looking for.
Was that two pages?
I mean, it's like, you know, what happened? Like, what happened? This used to be a great resource. It's almost like I can picture the cover of Time magazine 10 years from now. It's going to say, what happened to the internet? Something like that. And
right. It'll
show a skull or something like that. It's like, you know, where are we going to go? With the one engine only system.
Exactly. So
you know, it's like Big Brother's dream.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I have all the answers. Just type it in my single field on a big white page and your answer will appear.
It's like Ingsoc.
Zoltan.
The
like Zoltar.
The point of Ingsoc was to reduce the level of intelligence and to get the language way down to as few words as possible. So shrinking knowledge, basically, so that you can keep people slaves. And I said a moment ago, I think I misspoke. I said you get fewer things because you're just relegated to the search engine results. Well, duh. That's kind of a circular argument. Mm-hmm. What I meant was search engine optimization dictates what you get when you do a search. Mm-hmm. And who gets the best search engine optimization? Mm-hmm. It's the companies that have the greatest IT budget
right. And
can program
right.
the best
Not
SEO.
Not only that, they network with Google directly. Like mm-hmm. they have relationships to get them in the top of your search results and get their information in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember back in the day, I used to sell, of all things, cables on the internet. And we had to optimize our site to sell cables. In the early days, it was great. It was competitive. We could script our pages to pop up and sell cables. But over time, we just got bumped by like Staples. Like Staples didn't – we had thousands of cables to choose from at better prices than Staples. But because Staples is a big player – we ended up at the bottom of the page. Eventually, we ended up on page 5, mm-hmm. then on page 10, and then 100. And eventually, it's like you basically have to close your doors, and that's what happened to us.
So that's another hazard of the internet age, I think. You know, I remember when – I mean, really, people didn't have widespread access to the internet until the late 90s. And I remember people were like ecstatic when they found out they could start booking their own air travel.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to go to, you know, get the help of a travel agent anymore. And the prices were so low. And I remember thinking to myself at the time, this isn't really a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now we see why. Because it killed a lot of the market of people that were working, that mm-hmm. living in your own town, mm-hmm. working for years and years as a travel agent, someone who got to know you, know your
right.
habits, know
right.
all of the things about you that are related to your travel, and then they have to basically go out of business because the internet is cheaper. And I'm going to pick that up and finish that when we come back. This is Kara. We're on Brain Cleavage on KHNC, The Lion.
Shelby Gallagher here.
And Glenn Tate.
Join myself and Glenn every Saturday and Sunday at noon right here on KHNC for Prepping 2.0.
How would you like to get a free IRS deduction, possibly saving hundreds of dollars on your taxes, and do something good? If you've got an old car, you can donate it to help veterans. It's a pain to try and sell a car yourself. So, pick up your phone and make a free call to Veteran Car Donations. They'll come and get your vehicle within a few days for free and give you a receipt to use for your tax refund. Of course, check with your accountant for details. Now is the perfect opportunity to help veterans and get rid of an old car. Veteran Car Donations will come and get it for free. We only ask for 2 minutes of your time right now on the phone to get the whole process started. So please help the vets and make this free call now.
800-223-3831. 800-223-3831. 800-223-3831. That's 800-223-3831.
If you understand that Facebook is not your friend and that rewards programs are not free, you'll love Brain Cleavage. Join me, Kara, every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on KHNC, the Roar of the Rockies.
Are you a veteran who served offshore of the Republic of Vietnam between 1962 and 1975? Blue Water Navy veterans and their family members may now qualify for compensation and survivor benefits for health conditions linked to herbicide exposure such as Agent Orange. To learn more, call 1-800-749-8387 or go to va.gov and search Blue Water Navy. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
Thank you for joining us on Brain Cleavage today. Scott McCarchuk and I are talking about book burning in both the literal and figurative sense. And when we left for the break, I was saying, you know, we've been talking about how basically the internet and people's laziness, their desire to be entertained all the time, and their lack of long-sightedness have led to them leaving some things that were really valuable, like classical literature, for example, and books, and going to be just eating out of the hand of something that was promised to be wonderful and has maybe started out sort of wonderful and could be wonderful, but it's been used to actually dumb us down and then give us less and less quality of input. And the internet is one of those things. So I was talking about how we thought, and many people thought at first back in the late 90s, early 2000, how great it was that we could get cheap airfares and we could go on these trips and not have to use a travel agent. But what we find with that and other things that we thought were such a good deal on the internet is that now we are pretty much dependent on what those who succeeded to rise to the top in the internet world want to give us, and we've put other people really out of business to a large degree. Family-owned businesses in smaller towns, you know, travel agents, those are just a couple of examples, and now we're kind of at the mercy of what Google and others who really do control the internet are feeding us, and it's really making me feel really hungry for better quality. And in fact, I don't mind paying more money to get something that's higher quality, and that's what I want. And I don't know if other people are starting to feel that way, but I definitely feel that way. So I'm feeling ripped off. I'm feeling really ripped off by the cheap stuff we were given, and that's just exactly what it is. It's cheap. You get what you pay for, folks.
Yeah. It isn't always free.
That's right.
There's a price.
That's right. Let's talk a little bit more about libraries, because libraries are one of the things that we associate with books the most. Mm-hmm. And we talked last week about the fact that libraries are changing. They're trying to become bookless. They are kind of a cultural center. And as I was thinking about today's program, Scott, mm-hmm. it just hit me. And I was like, oh, wow, right between the eyes.
You're not into dream space? You don't like dream space?
No. So what hit me was, if you look at history, the books were burned by the people who took over by conquest. They came into a city. They came into a country. They overtook it, and they burned all the books of the people that had been there before because they wanted to assert themselves and dominate, and they wanted to get rid of those people's culture. It was the cultural cleansing. Well, guess what? We are cleansing ourselves culturally in our libraries by getting rid of books and by saying, in the name of culture, we need to have all these other things, like a place to go take a nap. And a place, I know this might have made you kind of cringe last week, Scott, but I'm going to bring it up again because it's a thing, and I didn't realize it was really a thing. I thought it was just some wacko talk show host that was talking about it, and it's not. I did the research. Go online and put in the search words drag queen story hour or drag queen story time. Mm-hmm. You'll get a ton of information and pictures that come up, and it shows children with men dressed like women. That's what a drag queen is. And then it also has many pictures of children rolling around, romping around, and kind of wrestling around on the floor with these men who are dressed like women. That is completely inappropriate. Even if they weren't dressed like women, it's not appropriate. I don't think children need to be wrestling with people they just met, no matter how they're dressed, if they're adults. And that opens a door. So all of this can be used in many different ways that are not good to society and that are destructive. And my personal opinion is that one of the things that is under attack in our society is the innocence of children, and children being used for the benefit of the sexual pleasure of adults. Mm-hmm. Pedophilia is a thing that is being pushed by a lot of more left of center people, and this thing with the drag queen story hour is a tool for that.
I thought that only happened in countries far away from us.
It happens here. It happens in Boulder. It happens. Friends of mine that live in Longmont mm-hmm. were invited to. Or they got emails about mm-hmm. this. They have kids in school, or some friends that have kids in school, and it's happening right here in our backyard. And I'm just saying it's perverted. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to hold back.
Of all the populations and demographics out there, it's strange that it's drag queens. I'm just saying when you think of the demographics,
it's because
out there,
of the sexual connection and the agenda. These people want to say, oh, children are comfortable rolling around mm-hmm. on the floor with men who have boobs. So, you know, it's okay to have some kind of sexual contact with kids. No, it is not. And I want to proclaim that with my time on my show anytime I get the chance. So that's just something that I find extremely repulsive and irresponsible of our culture. And look, it's part of this whole system of taking real knowledge and real wisdom and real good use of our language, proper use of mm-hmm. rich use of our language and our vocabulary and all of the things that God has given us the ability to use our brains to do, and dumbing it down and watering it down with things that have nothing to do with knowledge, nothing to do with higher order thinking, nothing to do with building culture, just right. tearing it down.
Well, there's also we always talk about change, and adapting, and new agey kind of, okay, this is okay now, and it wasn't okay in the past. But sometimes people underestimate and they forget about the power of something called continuity. It's been around for a while, and continuity is a form of slow progress, maybe. We don't have to make changes by leaps and bounds into new territories that maybe we're not ready for yet, and maybe we never will be. And maybe they're not quite appropriate, but sometimes, people get a little, they call it, I think Alvin Toffler wrote the book Future Shock once upon a long time ago, right? Mm-hmm. He saw this coming. He said, there's going to be too much information. We're going to be shocked by it. Mm-hmm. It's going to literally be a mental crippling effect. I remember reading that book. That's like, that was early 80s, maybe? It's going back quite a ways.
I think that's about right, yeah.
But information shock, yeah. So, but at the same time, though, I think a lot of people out there, the internet, cell phone culture, it's changing us by leaps and bounds. But again, don't forget that there is – the pendulum swings back and forth. There is continuity, and there is some conservative elements that prevent us from going haywire out there. And we just have to keep that in mind sometimes and remind ourselves it's not just about change and happening here and now, and I'm just a passive observer. No, you're actually a participant as well. So
that's right. So maybe if the drag queens would get us to read books ourselves to our kids, that could be a good outcome. This is Kara. We're talking with Scott Makarchuk about book burning, and we'll be back in just a few moments. We're with KHNC, the Roar of the Rockies.
I'm Dr. Anita Chandra with today's tip for kids from the American Academy of Pediatrics. Choosing high-quality childcare is an important decision. Here are a few things to look for: positive relationships between teachers and children, time for children to play, clear health and safety policies, and good ways to keep you informed of your child's day. Finally, make sure you visit where your child will spend their day and meet all of the staff. For checklists to help make your decision, visit healthychildren.org.
Chemtrails, also known as stratospheric aerosol injection when being sprayed by our own military or the United Nations, is literally killing the Earth. Chemtrails, laden with aluminum, barium, cadmium, amongst other ingredients, are being dumped right over our heads almost daily. The residue slowly contaminates the soil, destroying the microbacteria essential for plant life. Discover more facts, photos, and scientific studies by Googling Toxic Skies, What Are They Spraying?
Maplewood Wine and Spirits, located in Eaton, they are American-owned hometown liquor store with a big city selection. They specialize in hard-to-find spirits and whiskeys and a full selection of craft beers at competitive prices. Located at 201 South Elm, call 970-454-3533 or go to their website at maplewoodwineandspirits.com. Open Monday through Friday till 9, Friday and Saturday till 10, and they close at 8 on Sunday. 970-454-3533 or stop on in and tell them KHNC sent you. You'll be glad you did.
Every business needs to copy and print, but it has to be cost-effective, secure, and flexible enough to unleash your workforce. Professional Document Solutions offers award-winning Xerox office copiers and printers. By choosing a local Xerox agent, you'll receive the care and attention of a local business with access to one of the largest document technology companies in the world. Every business needs professional document solutions. Give them a call at 970-204-6927. Professional Document Solutions. We do the right thing, always.
Yes, indeed. This is Kara. We're talking about brain cleavage subjects today, and today's topic is about book burning. It's been very interesting to discuss this topic with you, Scott. Scott sells books for a living and music, and both books and music have been the subject of burning and censorship for a long time. You know, there have been book burnings that included rock music and putting things on a big pile. The point of what we're talking about today, though, is, you know, just how information is basically power, and that those who control information are the ones who are in power. And whenever you are prevented from keeping information you have or from getting information you want, you're basically being dominated by another powerful source. And we're just here to say that that's not okay, and people need to start waking up and saying, don't do this to me. You know, it's great that I have a cell phone that basically is like an external brain and gives me access to a lot of things and lets me call people, but is it really, you know, empowering you as much as you think it is, or is it keeping you from building real relationships, reading books that have wisdom in them, learning how to improve your language skills and become a better person? It's a matter of balance.
It kind of goes back to Alvin Toffler's book, Future Shock. I mean, you know, you can watch if you think of a 30-second video clip that I know a lot of people are addicted to these days, and you watch, God, I don't know, 100 of them in a day, and as the weeks and months and years go by, how many thousands and thousands did you watch? Mm-hmm. And do you have any memory of any of them?
So are we? I mean, I'll speak to all of us, because I like to watch YouTubes as well, but I have questioned myself at times too, because it's so easy to just keep finding another one that looks interesting and another one, and so I have to ask myself the
question. And
the
intuitive link is there too, right? Pull you into the next one.
I refuse to click on those. If it says if it says recommended for you, I will not open it. I just get so offended. I'm like, no, I'm not going to open that one. I'll look for a different one.
You know what's interesting about that? The whole intuitive link and the recommended. Other people like
that's
you
AI.
Like to. Yeah, it is
AI.
But it's It's an interesting thing in that, you know, you go to Amazon and they'll say, other people who bought this book also like these books. Throw them all in your basket. You know,
right.
Buy all these other books because they're just like the one you're interested in.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you go back to, you know, let's say the e-library versus, like, bookstores or, regular libraries. Like in our store, on our first T-shirts we printed for our store, we had the phrase, you don't know what you don't know. So you walk into a bookstore, like a lot of people, you know, a lot of time, I get people in their 20s and 30s, the first time they've ever been in a bookstore in their life. So, and since you don't know what you don't know, so it's hard to have a strong opinion if you consider that there's always a lot that you don't know. You walk into a bookstore, and I've seen this happen so many times. We kind of see our own little bookstore as sort of like a little bit of a sanctuary. Like, people literally come lost. Mm-hmm. Like, they have a lost moment in their life. They're seeking, right? They're out there looking
good
for something. They walk through the stacks, you know, in our store, and you know their cell phones may be put away for a little while, and next thing you know, they stumble on a book. It just catches their eye. They'd never even thought about that as a topic of something they might be interested. Next thing you know, it changes the course of their life.
That's right.
One book can change the course of your life.
It can. Because when you read a book, your brain is active, and you are getting a whole lot more proactive thought processes going.
And that's where browsing comes in.
Yes, much more so. So when I ask myself, when I'm watching YouTubes, I stop and I say, am I being a passive absorber of information, or what am I producing? If I'm not having new thoughts of my own, if I'm not actually writing something or doing something or coming up with a plan to apply to my own life and to help other people or to be more of a asset in my family and my community, then I'm being I'm being kind of a robot, mm-hmm. and I don't want to be a robot. I want to live while I'm here. And so I guess that's really kind of the takeaway for today's conversation is be involved in the world that you live in. Don't just be passive and absorbing things.
Participant, not a passive bystander.
That's right. So thank you to my guest, Scott Makarchek.
It's been
a pleasure. We'll be here again next week at 11 o'clock on KHNC, The Roar of the Rockies.
The following is made possible by Dad.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling all over it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
Why do you have to be careful when it's raining cats and dogs? Because you might step in a poodle.
And kids that spend more time with their dads grow up to be smarter, more successful.
Can I tell you a cat joke? Just kidding.
And with any luck, funnier adults.
Why didn't the skeleton go to the dance? Because he didn't have anybody to go with.
Dad jokes rule. So take a moment to make a moment and give your kid a laugh. It's as easy as going to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
That's really funny.
You are listening to 1360 AM.
KHNC.
Johnstown, Denver.
Rocky Mountain News Network, I'm Kristen Thoper. Colorado Governor Jared Polis has declared a state of emergency. Usually that's a step that officials take not to cause panic, but rather because it triggers access to emergency funding. Governor Polis says they would need to expand testing rapidly for anyone who's got flu-like symptoms. Beginning today, there will be free drive-up COVID-19 testing in Denver on East Lowry Boulevard for anyone who has a note from their doctor. Part of the governor's emergency order on coronavirus calls for some hourly workers to get paid sick leave.
The latest to catch it have been a man in Arapahoe County and one in Jefferson County, both in their 50s, and a teen girl in Denver. The new cases were expected as testing for COVID-19 expands and improves. Colleges and universities statewide are responding to the health problem. Colorado College in the Springs is urging students to leave campus for at least a month. The school's about to go on spring break, and that's being extended an extra week to the end of this month. School will start up again on the 30th, but online only. Those changes will stay in place till at least mid-April, and some classes may be canceled if online isn't an option. I'm Jim Williams.
A lot of places are making some subtle changes to prevent the spread of illness. The Archdiocese has announced that they will end communion in the state and instead temporarily offer the sign of peace. Many companies are offering telecommuting for the first time, or they're expanding it. The first Democratic presidential debate since the field dwindled down to just Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders will take place this week in Phoenix and will not have an audience due to concerns over illness. That will take place Sunday at 6 p.m. Today, Letitia Stoke will be in court in Colorado Springs. She's accused of murdering her 11-year-old stepson, Gannon, who she initially said went missing after going to a friend's house. The El Paso County Sheriff's Office says due to the high-profile nature of the case, they do plan to have extra security on hand. That hearing is scheduled for 4 o'clock this afternoon, and she'll be advised of the charges against her. I'm Kristen Thoburn.